Well, thank you, Rosanna, and good day to you all. It's a happy day, is it not, that Connolly is back with us? But it's a happy day tinged with very considerable anxiety, I think, because we are here because things have not gone well, by and large, in this area of asylum seeking and deportation. And what we have, unfortunately, is a minister with a frozen heart. And I think our task is to unfreeze the minister's heart. I think the minister has interpreted his legal situation as one where he must simply say no to everybody. As our previous speakers have said, as Joe has said, for example, he's interpreted as emotion, things that we should respond to as human beings, the smile on a person's face, the kind of person that they are. And I would really just use the words human rights in this context, because they are, if you like, the philosophy of the day. Human rights mean, as you know, that human rights are not given to you by a state and taken back by the state when the state considers it appropriate. No, human rights are what live within you. Every single person has a right to equal respect and equal dignity. That is the inside of human rights. That is its power. And that's what we must recognise in our policy in relation to those who come to us from abroad. I was very concerned last year, as I'm sure many of you were, when the referendum went through, because the referendum took away some degree of constitutional protection from those who had come to our country. And furthermore, legitimated attitudes of hostility and suspicion towards foreign people. And I think what we've seen over the last few weeks particularly is that when a foreign person ceases to be a foreigner, an alien, somebody you don't know, and becomes a human being that you do know, surprise, surprise, you love them, you like them, you respect them, you're annoyed by them, but they become a normal human being for whom you have respect. And I think that explains why in villages and towns and cities throughout Ireland, people who have had the opportunity to meet people from abroad, have got to know them as human beings, really seriously and deeply respect them. And the policy, of course, here in relation to asylum seeking has been one that reduces that, or seeks to reduce that possibility as much as possible. Asylum seekers have their dignity taken away, they're placed in hostels, they're not given economic support, they have no opportunity to act, if you take people with children, to act as good parents in an economically viable situation for their children. They're kept away from the community largely by that element of isolation. But when they escape, as it were, into the community, you notice what happens. The community love, like and respect them. And I think it's no pure coincidence that every time children have gone to school, or that women and men have got to know their neighbours, that neighbours like them and respect them to the extent of taking serious action. It's unusual in politics today to get 5,000 people in a local community signing on for a particular petition. That's an unusual thing, and it says something about the humanity or the potential exercise of humanity by Irish people. And my concern, just concluding, is that the minister has interpreted his powers as against foreigners, essentially against people who have come here applying for asylum. He is not applying the humanitarian discretion that exists within his powers. He treats as emotion and as blackmail that which you or I would treat as common humanity. And I think that the future, if we are to unfreeze the minister's heart, the future is that we must show respectfully and in this magnificent way today, respectfully, our concern for our fellow human being. Would Ireland be better or worse? Would the common good be served if there was greater respect for our fellow human being? I haven't the slightest doubt that we all would benefit in these circumstances. I thank you very much indeed for listening to me.
Thank you, William.